Hey guys, awesome episode today. A guy who wants to go down on his wife, a mom who's trying to set people up, and a girl who hates her best friend's new girlfriend. Check it out, enjoy, share it with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Times Square Poman Studios. We're back at the Po. Very thankful for them for having us. We're excited to be here. I'm here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I'll say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Keep telling people. When I get a DM from you and show me, when you post the biggest, there's levels to all this shit. There's levels. There's you whispering to a friend. Okay, that's nice. You told them about J Train. That's a feather on my nut. That's you texting a friend. That's another feather. If you're tweeting it, that's a feather. But if you put up that Instagram story where you take a picture of you listening, that feels like I'm out in the forest. It's like a cool afternoon. I'm hanging under a tree, just on all fours, and my nuts are dangling out. And it's as if, yep, we're out in the woods. There we go. We're hanging out. And you hear those birds? Those birds are all just flapping their wings at my nuts. Just flip, flap, 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 right across my nuts. Every time you make this your Instagram story, because that is an uninvasive way to let 300 people know. Let them know. Papa JT, the king of brunch, the wizard of weddings, the climax czar, Uncle J Train, the pharaoh of feathers, the wizard of Oz. That's how they know what you're listening to. That lets people know. Uninvasive, gets them out there. I was just in San Antonio. Wow. You guys are unbelievable. You're coming out to shows. I was there for what felt like 7 years. 7 years of San Antonian. I was out there. I had a great time. The shows were so much fun because you people came. People from Houston, Dallas, Austin, all over the place. They came to San Antonio, and I had a great time there. So thank you to everyone who came. It was really great meeting all of you and just talking and hearing about how you got into the show and all that shit. So that's great. I'm coming to some more cities. Charlotte, North Carolina, the Comedy Zone, August 15th. One night only. You're listening to this on a Tuesday. I'll be in Boston at the South Shore Music Circus. I'll be doing like a 10-minute set with some like Boston people, like Boston heavies. Like, this is like Don Gavin, who's like the legend. He's on that show. So then I'm coming to Nashville, Zanies, two nights, the 22nd, 23rd, ready to eat your food. So come on out August 22nd and 23rd. Pumped about those. So we got Nashville and North Carolina, Charlotte. We're coming. Okay. Very excited about today's guest. An OKP. It's been too long. Dante Nero, thank you for coming
What's
back.
What's going on, Jay?
Such good a pleasure to have you here.
Always, man.
Dude.
Always good to see you, bro.
And all of you need to get involved with Dante's podcast, the Beige Phillip Show, Beige Phillip Podcast. Go get involved. It comes out every Tuesday. And that's what you do. Now you're creating a library. You got J Train Tuesday. You got Beige Phillip Tuesday. You got J Train Friday. I do You Up on Wednesdays. You got to get involved with Beige Phillip, at the Beige Phillip on Instagram and Twitter. Go follow Dante Nero, DanteNero.com for all dates and all that stuff. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Explain the Beige Phillip Show to the people listening at home.
Okay, so I was a male stripper for 10 years. I'm going on 11 years.
The best is when I see a picture of you from the stripper days.
Yeah, because I look good then.
Crushing it. I'm sitting there being like, oh my God.
I was crushing it. Still crushing it.
Still
but
doing
not,
okay.
Yeah, just still doing good. Still yeah. doing good. But then I
just like the pomp and circumstance.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You'll be in a feather boa. And
I,
like,
I always tell everybody if I was a gay dude, I would just have gay muscle dudes carrying me around with a gold sarong on. I would just
they can still do that to you yeah. while you're straight.
And everybody would go, yeah,
seems, good for him.
Feels like Dante. Yeah. Feels like something Dante would do.
Yes. And so you're a male stripper, and then you.
And then I ran an escort service for a while. And
a pimp.
Yeah, I was a pimp.
Is that derogatory?
Yeah, you know, look.
To it, the industry? I
here's,
don't know.
Here's the thing. Here's what
I
would
don't
say.
I don't want to offend our male escort.
Look, here's the thing. I think this is an interesting thing. It's not something I'm proud of.
Really?
It was something that happened. I mean, yeah. you know, there is an exploitive aspect of it.
It has to, I guess that's the way it works.
I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. I like to think that I was as respectable as you could be in the context of it.
Sure.
But I was also 20-something years old, and yeah. we do things when we're 20 in our 20s that we, you know.
It's like the guy in the movie that you cheer for that you know you shouldn't be cheering for.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like when you're watching, like I watched the movie Blow the other day.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
like, ah, yeah, man, yeah. Johnny Depp, you're the man. I know it ain't right. I know people are dying from these drugs.
How many times have we said, say hello to my little yeah, friend, you exactly. want him to win. So it's not something I'm particularly proud of, gotcha. But I definitely think in terms of me being the person that I am, I wouldn't be that person if it wasn't for those things that I've gone through. And I sure. think that's everybody. We go through things and, you know, and we as we learn more, we are expected to do better.
Yeah.
The
more you know, the more you got to stand yeah, by the things you know.
Absolutely. And I think so. But what my understanding was on the stripper side, it was the point was you had to understand attraction, okay. the dynamics of attraction.
Yeah.
And the escort side, you had to understand you had to understand how women think, and in order to, because you are their everything in the context of that.
You're the payday.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't presume that. You know, I get in trouble a lot of times because I say all women are alike. And okay. people get mad at that. But
sure.
the point is that all men are alike, too.
It goes both ways.
So every time we answer a question or you talk about something, there's 100 guys who have that same question.
Yeah.
And every time a woman says, I'm so different than everybody else, there's 100 girls going, I'm so different yeah. than everybody else. So
yeah. This never happens.
Right. This is the reality of it is that there's a study of psychology called human behavior because people act in patterns.
Yeah. You know, I was talking about it like I think I heard on like Carolla, like mm-hmm. Carolla's podcast, where he's like, he would always talk about like you smell a steak, you salivate.
Right.
There's certain things you can't.
Yeah.
Stop the human
stop.
Body, sure. human, you know, emotionally.
Right.
And that's the thing with all these emails that we take in, and you can send it in at jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Anything you'd like. We got some great emails today. You can tell there's like all the advice I give.
Right.
People are like, well, what do you know? And I go, I don't know anything. It's hard right. to take advice.
Right.
Really easy to
especially
give
advice. For men.
Especially
because men see taking advice as a failure.
Yeah, so we have an ego.
Yeah, if you ask for directions, then you lost.
Yeah,
you're in the desert. Yeah. You got one bottle of water left, and now you're like, well, how do we get out of here? But guys don't take advice well.
Well, we're gonna try and help the men today.
Awesome.
Because we got a bunch of dude emails. We got some ladies writing in. I'm pumped to have you. All of you, go follow the Beige Philip Show. It's a great podcast. I've been on it. Here's the best way to get into Beige Philip. I've been a guest on it.
Yeah.
So you go to Laughable, you use that app, you look, Laughable's an app where you can find any podcast.
With Jay Train on it.
Well, you can subscribe to you.
Yeah, yeah.
They can subscribe to me.
Yeah.
And they can find anything I've been a guest on. So
yeah.
that's like a little, nice
yeah,
little
way.
Taste
yeah.
test or yeah. a little
network.
Little network
yeah.
to get you into it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you a little taste of me on Laughable. Go to Laughable.com to go download their stuff. And also, we got a voicemail later in the podcast, 347-669-8252, 347-669-8252. You ready for the emails, Dante?
Let's rock.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Help, my wife won't let me go down on her.
Okay.
Have you ever been in that situation?
Absolutely.
This is a very serious moment. When you're in that situation, and we live in these times right now, you don't want to push too hard. This is his wife.
Right.
Like, you know, and I do understand. I think I have this theory that men fuck themselves from grade school. We are like in middle school when we made the smelly vagina jokes too much.
Sure,
maybe. And it fucked us for later in life.
Sure. So that's like when you slut shame.
Yeah.
And then the slut won't fuck you.
And then you're like, oh, wait, what happened? I love sluts.
I screwed this up. Yeah, They're the best. I actually buy slut cakes. I keep one in the house just in case.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, you're here, and I just put candles in it.
I've been celebrating you all week. It's slut week here at my apartment. Sending lots of feathers from New York, no guy would ever turn down a blowjob. So I'm having trouble understanding why my wife won't let me go down on her. My wife is an 898. We have a rating system.
I know.
Guys or girls can use it. Face, body, personality.
Right.
And goes to the gym daily, so it's not like she should have body issues. We have sex fairly regular for a married couple, 2 to 3 times a week. Mm. But now the sex is starting to get monotonous.
Right.
I'm always on top, and she is not down to try anything new. I thought going down on her would be a good way to mix it up, but she always pushes me away. I tried talking about it. Yeah, the crowd here doesn't like it. We're all against this.
And how old are they? You know, does it tell?
I'm going to assume they're younger. I mean, I'm looking, living in New York, young couple. I they're not 80.
Yeah.
But they're not
22. Yeah. Okay.
Let's call them 29.
Okay.
You know, and I tried talking about it always, but she always deflects. We only have been married 2 years, and I'm afraid this is a sign of worse things to come. Any suggestions from the Salt and the Swipes would be greatly appreciated. Yeah, what do you think?
That's first of all,
you're the perfect guest.
Yeah, for this.
This is absolute question.
Yeah. So I used to always get these question like this, but on my podcast they was like, "Can you hoe a bitch up?"
Right? Wait, what do you mean? Can you make her more hoey?
Yeah, yes. Hoey. Can you hoe a bitch up?
She's a little hoe. I gotta raise the hoe by 10%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the first thing is that I think there is something going on.
Something's up.
Something happened, something she's not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is he hasn't found out what the problem is.
So
he has to find out what the problem is. And whenever I hear a guy go, is this worse, more for things to come? Absolutely.
Yeah.
This starts with this and it's just going to get worse. And so we have to ask,
You both have needs.
Yes.
This isn't even a female-male issue.
No.
This is anyone could be with a partner where the partner's going, there's something, you got to go treasure hunting for this shitty thing that they're thinking about. That's the reason it's not happening.
Right, which is not even in his head because he wants to go down and he wants to munch the box and he doesn't care.
Don't we all?
What's going, exactly. Yeah. So,
we all want to take a trip to the buffet, the vagine buffet.
So I think you have to find out what the issue is first. It sounds to me like she does have some body issues, or she has, like, she's maybe a little prudish or whatever. And one of the things that I think that keeps people from being more open is the fact that there's a lack of trust.
Interesting.
She doesn't feel as though... She maybe just be prudish.
Even as they're married, though?
Of course.
Yeah.
What I mean, he married her. Like, so I don't understand. How was he, like, how did he have sex with her before they married and never go down on her?
Yeah, when did this change?
Like,
you never going down? A lot of these issues, you got to look in the mirror. Like, let's first look at ourselves.
Right.
Because if he did, you're exactly right.
Right.
If he spent their whole courtship or whatever
not
that
going
made,
down on her.
Then she's wondering, well, I guess that's not him. This isn't what he does.
Right.
He might be grossed out by that. She has made her own assumptions.
Right,
about
and
you.
then she has a, she creates a stigma. That could be it.
Yeah,
it could be a lot of things. So I don't think you can really give a solution to this other than the fact that he needs to find out what the problem is. And what's interesting, what's kind of telltale about the email is that he says that she deflects.
Mm.
I don't care if you deflect. I'm not going to let you deflect. This is something that has to be dealt with.
I think that's like an important thing. to get across a lot of people when they write in with sexual stuff. Mm. They're embarrassed.
Sure.
Because they're like, no, everyone's like, no, it's, if your minds are together, you know, like the noble thing to be said on social media on an anniversary is to say, this is my right arm. This is my spirit. This is
it, my spirit
this
animal.
This is my one and my best friend and my person. Yeah. And everyone will clap for you. And then the crowd will then go wild.
Nobody's munching box.
And then we're like, and that's the thing. No one comes on social media and it says, this is my person, my best friend, and the best sex I've ever been fucking having.
You don't
because
hear that.
You feel embarrassed about right. that. It's, but that is the pie of a relationship.
Sure.
It's in there.
And it's a big part of it.
It's a big part that we all feel ashamed about feeling necessary.
How many people that got divorced, if they were fucking each other, probably wouldn't have gotten divorced?
Yeah. I mean, and also, how much conversation? I've had more honest conversation
on the podcast?
Yeah, on the podcast. But after I fuck during the podcast. But post-fucking is like when a lot of this shit, like all the, everything's drained away.
Yeah, sure.
Like all the pretense.
Sure.
So it's like so you're literally naked and you can have a real naked conversation.
You're emotionally naked as well.
Absolutely. So like for this guy, I think you have to first own the fact that your problem is a problem.
Yeah.
It is a problem.
It is a problem.
We're sitting here thinking, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Second of all, look at yourself. Let's look at yourself. Have you been weird about going down? But it sounds like it's more than a going down issue.
Yeah.
He's saying he's on top every time the sex gets monotonous.
Yeah, so it's pretty vanilla. It's vanilla already. It's the he's on top, he's bored, she won't let him go down. It's the reality of this is that you know, I'd say to everybody, put yourself first. If you don't, especially a guy, you put yourself first. If you don't, she won't.
Yeah.
So if you don't respect yourself, a woman will take a cue from you if you don't respect yourself.
Well, and every time she deflects and you take it back, you let it happen. That's you not putting yourself first.
Not even on a visceral level, she actually finds you less attractive because you're a pussy.
There's something to that.
Because you believe you have these thoughts and feel what a woman always likes. Even if she doesn't like what you stand for, she likes the fact that you stand for something.
And that's the thing. It's okay for this to turn into a fight.
It should. You got to be ready to put the gloves
on. As a married couple, it's going to be something that you should be able to get over.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other advice I would give, and we gave this advice to a girl prior. I want to re-give this advice.
Okay.
You got to send a text. We gave this advice and it worked.
Okay.
For a girl who listened. She wanted to give blowjobs to a guy. I think it was something like that. I forget, but it was a similar context. Okay. You got to send her a text that you had a dream. Like, you go to work, she goes to work, and be like, listen, I had this dream last night about going down on you. And it was the hottest fucking dream. And now all I've been thinking about all day.
Right.
Is coming home.
Because you're framing it.
And going down on you.
Yeah.
And then, there we go. Yeah. Okay. And you send this over text. Because the text gives us the ability to be a little
can you
weird.
Put that in the beginning?
Hey, baby.
I had this crazy dream.
In the dream, you were looking so fucking hot.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just impeccable.
The sun was shining, the breeze through your hair.
I just wanted you to tell me stories.
Yes.
About your day.
And you told me this long 30-minute story.
That I had no relevancy to, and it turned me on so much. I just wanted to go down on you, just slowly.
And then I picked you up, and I brought you back to this like bed of roses. And I licked you up. For a good hour.
And
I don't know what it is. That's the other thing. I don't know what it is.
It's queer. It's so weird.
Weird how hot it was for
me. It's just so crazy.
And then, boom, you send that text.
See what she says.
See what she says.
Yeah.
Because that's like the easiest way for this to start up a conversation. And you could be like, you could even say, listen, I'm like, this is weird to say, I'm like totally hard at work.
Yeah.
Just say, we told that to the girl who wrote in. Say that you're wet at work. Remember, Shelby, do you remember this email? We gave this advice earlier.
We did.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is
It's the same. Well, here's,
similar but different.
Now, I mean, I look, that's a great tactic, but I also feel as a married couple, look,
But if that doesn't work, you got to talk it out.
I'm not doing tricks. We're married.
But same, maybe that. But my rebuttal to that is, he said that it's monotonous. Maybe they just need the switch up. And then if that works, then you say, hey, it shouldn't. It feels like it shouldn't have to take that for us to like be talking.
Yeah,
you can. I think the conversation is best after that happens.
Sure.
But if she says,
yeah,
stop texting me that. You go, hey, then we got to talk when we're home. I'm trying here.
Yeah,
I'm pulling out all the fucking. Pulling out all the tricks.
Well, I had a chick who didn't want to blow me.
Okay.
Right. And so I didn't. I have this thing. I say make ultimate decisions. Don't give ultimatums.
Okay.
Meaning I'm not going to negotiate with you. I'm not going to negotiate
my
happiness.
There's not a blowjob in the middle of the table, and then you go, I'll take a half a blowjob. No.
So what I said was the first thing was that. I kind of said, listen, I get this feeling that you don't really like, you don't want to fuck, you don't want to blow, maybe it's best we just not do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, I just love our relationship. I feel like we're closer than ever. Then my question is, why is my dick not in your mouth?
It's a fair question.
It's a fair question.
But you with that, you're saying this relationship is good,
right?
With a blowjob.
But this is part of this.
Yeah.
Is we're human beings. I always say we're three-dimensional. There's an intellectual side, there's an emotional side, and there's a physical side. Mm. And neither side is any more important, but neither side is any less important.
Yes.
And so if you want to have a successful marriage, you have to cultivate all of those things.
And
if you're not, your marriage is not going to work. And I say this on my show all the time, I say that relationships are really easy. You need to decide what your non-negotiables are and then never negotiate them.
Yeah. So, I mean, and those are the hardest things to do. And the reason we negotiate them is because we're like, we don't want to hear the answers that we don't want to hear.
And we don't know, a lot of times we don't think that we are good enough to get what we want.
I've been in that position 100 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're just like, I don't know.
And what's
they
fair?
Might leave me.
Do you remember the thing that we had about that? Can we talk about the panties thing? Did you talk about? Oh, you don't want to talk about? Let's talk about it. Forget it. There's a thing where I'm not going to look if you're. If you think about somebody that's not fucking you and not blowing you and not doesn't want to have sex with you, they don't want to do that because they don't like you.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation for that because somebody who they're turned on and they like, fuck those people.
All of a sudden you like it.
Right. So
panties thing I'll talk about.
Right.
A long time ago I hooked up with this chick who found another chick's
panties
in my place.
Right.
I ran into you after that happened. And it was just like...
And you were distraught because you kind of dug her.
I felt bad. And
you dug her. We felt guilty.
Sure.
And my thing was, you should have told her to put the panties back where they were. It's none of her business. and the reason why I said that was because, can you imagine that if you had went to her house and hooked up?
Yeah.
And then as you go to throw a gum wrapper in her garbage...
You see
a condom wrapper. Yeah. And you picked up the condom wrapper and said, hey, what is this? She would throw you out of the house. She would go, are you going through my garbage?
Yeah,
and you'd
be
like, no, I'm not going through your... I mean, it was sitting there, and I just thought that we were... And she goes, so you're going... This is my house. This is my body. I can do it. Then now you're a fucking... you're a dickhead.
Yeah,
you're a douchebag.
Yeah, yeah.
Because... Which is the same thing that she did about the panties.
Sure, sure.
So what I'm saying is, we talk about the equality of it. Let's be equal
We're
fucking... We're not exclusive. We didn't have that conversation. If you see panties underneath my bed, put them back.
That's it.
Because the other girl
that
comes back,
you've been swimming in.
She needs to fucking be able to find those panties.
If there's no sign that says, you're in shark infested waters, you're swimming in them, you can't be
That's
mad
it.
That there's sharks.
That's it. And if there's no, and if it says sharks and you're swimming in it, you might get bit.
That's right.
So, and it's also what the thing that really got me, how you were so apologetic. And
I felt bad.
Because you felt bad. Because we don't.
But we weren't together. It wasn't like.
We weren't together. But you're also, as a man, that we take on that that we want to take care of. We want to protect. Sure. It's part of our DNA, which is interesting how they, you know, we're trying to get away from this whole thing, what the nature of men is.
Yeah.
Our visceral drive is to keep you safe and take care of you and stuff. No guy is ever happy when his girl is unhappy.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what, how many jet skis and motorcycles he's got, he's still unhappy because his woman is unhappy. So we want that. We want to make you happy.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this is why this guy's asking.
That's why he's asking
her
a question. But the real question, the real thing is that she's not being being cooperative, and she's also acting like this can't end the relationship.
And
this,
it can.
It can. And so he needs to let her know that this could end up the relationship. I've said this. I'm not doing this relationship where I don't get to eat your pussy. I'm just not.
And you got to go to her parents' house and say it over family dinner. I will not start Thanksgiving until I eat some pussy.
And is it really unreasonable?
It's not. It's not unreasonable.
Is it unreasonable to be in a marriage and want a blowjob? Is it unreasonable to want to go down on your girl? I get if she doesn't want to do anal. Fair enough.
Fine. Fair
but
is
listen,
fair.
Eating pussy,
but at least
sucking
let us
dick,
lick the asshole.
It should be on the menu.
It should be on the menu. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Dante Nero @TheBeigePhilip on Instagram, Twitter. Go follow, go support, go listen to his show. It's so fantastic. Let's do some ads, baby. We are sponsored. Ghost Tequila, they're back, baby. Spicy isn't a flavor, it's a sensation. And if properly tamed, it can take a drink to the next level. Ghost, the perfect balance of 100% agave azul blanco and a splash of ghost pepper designed to bring some spiciness into people's nights. Now listen, people. This tequila is fantastic. It's the perfect bottle to have waiting at your apartment or your dorm room or wherever you're living with your house with six other girls. Spicy margs on the regs. Let's do our spicy email of the week. Are you ready? Okay. Girl's mom texted me first. Spicy. And you can go to ghosttequila.com, use ghost5 for $5 off. JT, sup, big dog? I recently had a girl's mom send me a text telling me to ask out her daughter. The mom has worked with my mom for a long time, and I guess they talked about us, so here we are. I've met the daughter a couple times, but we haven't ever really hung out. She's really good-looking, though, so I'll give her a solid 8-7 question mark ranking. I know from social media that she just got out of a decently serious relationship only a month ago. I'm a post-grad about a year, and she is some type of medical program in the same major city. Anyways, I'm waiting to text her just to see, but I'm not sure what I should even say or what the play is. I also have no idea if she knows her mom texted me, but it's still 2018, so it's beyond my control that I'll be shooting my shot somehow. Any suggestions would be appreciated. Also, her mom is a definition of MILF, so good genes. What do we think? How do we... This is spicy.
This is cake. This is a piece of cake.
Dude, you're made. You're a made man.
Yes, because first of all, you can use her mom as the end.
Okay.
Like, almost, so you don't even have to seem like you're needy. You go, hey, how you doing? Now, how does she know that she's calling?
He says he doesn't know. I'm going to assume... Moms don't just give out numbers to fuck with their kids.
And even if they do, it doesn't really matter. You go, hey, this is so-and-so. You met me, blah, 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 blah. Your mom thinks that we would be amazing together.
Yes.
What's up? You're in.
That's the exact text I would send. Even if you want to go, smaller, you can go, hey, your mom thought we'd get along. Just wanted to say, what's up?
I would, you know why? Because it's almost playful.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I would even do it, maybe even do it even cockier. It's like, your mom thinks I'm perfect for you.
Yeah. So I guess we have to meet. I got to figure out if your mom's right or not.
Right. And you're in.
And then you're in. I think anytime the fix-up situation comes into play, here's the one thing. you know, I always talk about the aunt theory, where these days dating is difficult for women because you have these guys not really answering to anybody.
Right.
This guy is answering to the mom.
Exactly.
The mom is friends with the mom, so he's obviously, you have to take that into consideration.
Right. If he is a douchebag, he's got to ratchet that douchable.
Bring that down.
He's
got
to bring it down to a 3 or 4.
Yeah. We want to hold people up. We got to douche you down. Because your mom is going to talk to that mom.
You're going to have to deal with this.
This is going to be something right away, but... So it's two things to consider. This is going to be a little bit more than a first date.
Sure.
One, two. This is also you're a made man,
right?
So you both are going on at the same time.
Right.
She's going to want to, if you pull off this first date and are cool and fun and it's connect, you're
in
made.
Business.
You're getting blown.
Yeah,
you're doing. Yeah. You're definitely better than the married dude we just
Absolutely.
Talked about.
Absolutely.
But know that. Know that she takes you more seriously than a Bumble guy, Tinder guy, Hinge guy, whatever it might be. She takes you more seriously than some guys you met at the bar. So you have to make sure, just know that your mom and her mom are hearing all the stories.
Right.
This ain't done with, they're not done with this.
It ain't, this
is the only thing they have to talk about.
I'm dropping you off and it's done.
No.
It's not.
You're the topic of conversation.
The other thing that kind of rubbed me a wrong way is he goes, whenever a guy goes, oh, I see, I watched her Instagram and I just was... you know, she's out of a serious, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Because here's the thing, you're already, like, that is almost a recognition of the fact that you may not think you're good enough.
Yeah, it's almost like, well, the reason this won't work out is she just got out of a relationship.
Yeah.
Don't set yourself up like that.
And
totally
here's the other thing, if you know, I mean, this is a little dated, but say Brad Pitt goes to somebody, goes, hey, he sends his personal assistant, hey, Brad Pitt would like to see you at his hotel room. This is what, da, 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 da. You're going.
Yeah.
You're going. You know why? And guess what? You could have been broke up with your relationship yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You're going. Why? Because she sees Brad Pitt as having more value than her, and so she's not going to blow this opportunity. We as individuals, now, you don't. We don't even know. Look, Johnny Depp doesn't take showers.
Yeah,
like so.
Doesn't matter.
So we don't know whether Brad Pitt is a great guy or not. You have to start being the Brad Pitt in you.
Yes.
And start understanding what you bring to the table. If you're a kind dude and generous and you're trying to take her out, because you're, you know, anytime you go out with a woman, what's going to happen? You're going to do things you don't want to do. You're going to have to listen to stories that you don't want to listen to. You have to go places you want to go. But we don't mind doing that if it makes you happy.
Yes.
So it's ridiculous to think that this woman, because she's attractive, is doing you a favor.
Yeah, you're bringing some game to.
You're bringing all of the game to the table.
And you're there to do it.
Right.
And also, just sit and then be like, even when you say, hey, what's up? What's going on? Also, I'm free next week if you want to do drinks Tuesday night. I got a place that if you want to go.
Set it up like
set it up right away.
And then
you
when
you're a real mensch.
And here's what I would say: even when you run into her, hug and kiss on the cheek you, right away.
Old friends,
because I have this thing I call it the time travel.
Okay.
It's it gets you laid 100 times.
Okay.
Out of 100 times, what happens is what you'll find is guys will go out on a date and they will, you know, be very polite, be a gentleman, and then they won't, and then they'll, at the end of the night, they go for the kiss and they don't get the kiss, because what they don't understand is kissing is a very intimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's even more intimate than a lot of other shit.
Listen, yeah.
So if you, but if you haven't touched
kiss
her.
Kiss your mom with that mouth.
Right, exactly. If you haven't touched her, if you say your date is 6 hours, you're hanging out with her for 6 hours.
Sure.
Or even 5 hours, and you've gone 5 hours without touching her at all.
A leg, the small of the back,
back of your hand, chuckle. Your arm around her, a kiss on the temple.
Yeah,
you're the chasm that you're jumping when you go from no touch
to
kissing to something that's very intimate. You're probably not going to make that jump. Whereas if you're touching her, if you start off with a hug and a kiss on the cheek,
even if she's
awkward initially, you're going, I'm affectionate.
I always on a first date.
This is how I do.
Hey, good to see you.
Exactly.
Big hug. What's up? That was spicy.
And non-sexual touching throughout, and move from venue to venue.
Always travel.
Yeah.
You got to keep moving bar to bar, venue to venue. Collect yeses.
And every time you travel from venue to venue, the touching goes from non-sexual to a little more sexual, it should ratchet up a little bit at a time.
And I understand how that could sound to someone like, "Whoa!" If someone took clips of this, right, and put it out, they'd be like, "These monsters."
Yeah.
No, every point in the game. There's
a level.
It's a level, and you're checking in.
Right.
You're checking in to see if they're having a fun. Oh, do you want to do another bar? She goes, nah, I got work tomorrow. All right, well, listen.
So maybe,
another
time. She could be tired, or
it's okay.
But if you're by the third bar, if you're making out,
you're in.
Even if she goes, I'm really tired. You're already. So it's you're asking. The analogy I said, even if you're a bone straight guy,
sure,
and you get a gay guy to jerk you off.
Okay.
Eventually, you're going to come.
You will come.
Even if you're not gay. So, because there's a physical aspect of the touch itself that we don't take into consideration.
I close my eyes.
Right.
That was the Ghost Tequila spicy email of the week. What makes this tequila special? Here's what you need to know. 100% agave azul. That means quality ingredients, no sugary additives. Ghost pepper, this isn't meant to burn your face off. A tiny bit of ghost pepper gives a clean heat and masks the tequila aftertaste. I've mixed this shit with, like, fruit.
Right.
I'll put it in ice, little fruit.
Yeah.
Mix it around, put it in a cup, and then I'll put a topper of club soda, that like a flavored soda water. Oh, my God. So good. It slows you down. It's a good hangout drink. I'm telling you, for one of these dates where you end up back at your place, hey, I got this like pepper tequila. You would love it.
Yeah.
They'll be like, well, what's that? Great.
You know what's great to mix with that pepper tequila?
What's that?
Nantucket Red Plum Juice.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know where to find that.
Like delis and stuff?
Yeah.
Is
it like Nantucket Nectars?
Yes.
Oh, that's...
But it tastes like you're eating a plum.
Oh.
It's crazy.
Right now, listeners of J-Train can get $5 off by going to ghosttequila.com, clicking buy online at the top right corner, and then click the Old Town Tequila button. That's ghosttequila.com, click the Old Town Tequila button. Click buy online, then the Old Town Tequila button, and use promo code GHOST5 for $5 off. Check Ghost Tequila. Here's to the spicy ones. Drink responsibly. I just gave you a treasure map. So it's ghosttequila.com. Click buy online. Click the Old Town Tequila button. Then you use Ghost5 for $5 off. Get involved. Ghost Tequila here with Dante Nero. Awesome to have him back. Okay. We got a lot of dude emails. We got another dude email.
We're helping the dudes.
Yeah.
A dude email.
How to break the nonstop texting continuum. Sup, Train. Real simple question here that I'm sure most of us can relate to out there. What is the best way to end the never-ending texting continuum with someone else? It seems like every time I begin to talking to or going out with someone new, they want to maintain a 24/7 texting conversation from the minute we wake up to the second we fall asleep. This ridiculous cycle makes it impossible to keep conversation interesting for more than an hour and is obviously not sustainable for a billion other reasons. What is the best way to break this cycle without being rude or making the other person think you're not interested? What do you think?
I don't do it. I don't text like that.
You don't text like that?
Well, I mean, I'll text a little bit, but I'd rather talk on the phone. And there's a lot of, especially young girls don't want to talk on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how when you set the boundaries are only, they're only a problem when you don't set the boundaries up front.
Mm.
So as soon as I meet a girl, I go, look, I don't text a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if you got an emergency, I'll text. But if you think something's important enough to call me, then call me up and we'll talk about it.
Sure.
And then that eliminates it. The problem again is value.
Mm.
It always goes back to value. You don't want to stop this. You don't like it, but you don't want to stop it.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid if you stop it that she'll leave.
Yeah.
And what you don't understand is that if you don't want to end up texting this chick for the rest of the next 10 years,
sure,
you should say, I don't like this.
Yeah, I love this question because what it presents is the idea that there's a difference between being bad at texting and not texting all day.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
A lot of people, oh, they're bad at texting. No. You're not. You can be good at texting and not be talking all day.
Sure.
You can be both.
Right.
And what this guy's afraid of is that he'll get looked at as a not interested party. You know what interest is? And I have girls that write in all the time. They'll be like, well, you never text, but we have a date this Tuesday. Is it okay? I'm like, you have the date.
Right.
That's what you want. That's what we're all getting towards.
Right.
If somebody, what would you rather? Someone that treats you great, brings you out every week, hangouts all weekend, turns into a boyfriend, turns into your husband, turns into your father,
and
your kids.
And doesn't like your happy face. And doesn't give a fuck about your happy face text.
Yeah.
Or the guy who
texts
loves
all day.
Yeah, and never does anything.
And never will come out.
Well, you know, this kind of goes back to that. You're talking about masculinity and credibility and stuff. It's like, look, if you have to, a woman is not going to find a guy attractive who's allowing her to dictate the tone of who he is.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to say to someone, especially, I do understand where you get in these situations where someone says, hey, what's happening today? And it's like, a lot of work, pretty busy, not much else. And it's okay to say that, and they'll go, what people do now, and it bothers the fuck out of me because it happens on Instagram, that they'll give you shit about the answer not being good enough to what they thought they were going to get.
So, like, what do you mean?
Like, I'll have someone be like, they'll write back to my whole post. Like, I'll put up a joke on Instagram stories. Someone will write back whatever they fucking think is the response to that joke, which the only response is laugh or don't.
Right.
But then they'll write back this whole long-winded thing, and I'll just write back a heart. Like, I'll just send a little heart emoji.
Right.
And they'll be like, whoa, I thought I'd get more than a heart. You thought wrong, bitch.
Exactly.
That's it. And so we have to stop assuming. We have to stop texting for the response that we want and start texting for the things we want to say.
Right.
So this guy, I think it's totally okay. And when you're on the other side of it, it's okay to go, hey, I had a great time last night. Let's figure something out for next week. And then disappear for a while. And then on Sunday go, hey, how's Wednesday work? That's okay to do. That's interest to me.
Sure. I had a woman I was dating, and we set up a date, and then she was like, "Oh, I didn't hear from you." I go, "Well, I'm a man of my word. If I gave you my word, then I'll be there. I don't know why you would think." I go, and then she goes, "Well, you know, most guys." And then I go, "Listen, if you ever want us to ever have any date, I need you to stop comparing me to most guys."
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're accustomed to guys who are shiftless and disrespectful and don't keep their word, I understand that could be your experience.
Sure.
That's not who I am, and I'd appreciate it if you don't ever compare me to that in the first place.
And what she's saying, and the thing is, the difference between you and the other guy is you said, I'll be here this time, this day, at this bar.
Right.
What other guys are doing, and I've done this, I've been both guys. I've been the this time, this date, this bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of other guys are going, yeah, so let's do Tuesday. And then Tuesday rolls around, and they don't text until 4 o'clock that afternoon. I understand why they'd be mad about that.
Sure.
That's a different story.
Because it's a disrespect of her time.
Totally. Time, if you have the time and place and where to go, trust it. That's it.
Right.
Like, let's stop living in this world where you need people to fucking carry you through life.
Right, right.
And that's kind of what this guy's saying. Well, they'll text all day and they'll go, oh, well, how's your day? All they want you, what they're looking for is the reassurance that you like them. Listen. Our parents didn't need that, and we don't need that either. So you don't have to go and reassure this person all day long.
What girl likes the guy that likes her more than she likes herself?
you're like Confucius.
I say this all the time. What a man wants from a woman, a woman doesn't want from a man. You know what I mean? Like, we want different things.
Sure.
And that's okay. It's okay that those differences is it's like when people say, I don't see color. You have to.
You have to.
It's innately part of who I am. So if I don't see gender, it's ridiculous. This is an absurd thing to say. If you lost your arm, your life would be infinitely different.
Yeah.
So if you today woke up this morning with a vagina, how much different would your life be if you woke up with a vagina?
Different
and
life.
You still had an arm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's...
At least I could masturbate.
Exactly. So it's absurd to think that we should contort and twist and turn so that we're making somebody else feel comfortable when they're not even trying to make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, for this guy, I think it's okay to send a text. If someone's hitting you up all day.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's okay to go, hey, I got a big day at work. I can't really text all day. I'll talk to you sometime this week.
Right.
I think it's okay to say that.
Sure.
And it's okay for that person to say,
"I'm out." How much more is she going
to
be turned on by the fact that your life is moving forward
yeah.
and things to do? So it's okay for her to go, "Well, I'm looking for somebody who's going to stalk me mm-hmm. and be there for every moment."
Good
and
luck.
Then this is not the people that
this
you.
Isn't the one for
I,
you.
When I was talking about the girl that didn't want to, she didn't want to blow. She wanted to give her no blowjobs. I was like, look. I'm not living a relationship where I don't get blown.
I will not live this blowjobless life.
I will not. So we could be cool, but this is done. We're done now. Not because there's an argument. It's just that we're incompatible.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Shelby, we got time for one more than a voicemail?
We do.
Let's do one more. I actually have a follow-up email. If I could read that, Papa JT and Shelb just wanted to drop by and say that tonight when I was going down to my fiance, he said, "That's a good girl." And I literally laughed mid-blow because I thought of Shelby's news item from a few episodes ago. Keep up the good work per usual. Number one fan. What was that story?
They did a poll of what do like girls like to hear. Whether like they're doing something to a guy or somebody's, you know, and the top one was good girl.
Good girl.
Oh, really?
Have you ever said good girl?
Absolutely.
To a girl? You say anything else? Do you have any other things that you say to women in bed?
Look at you taking all that dick.
Good for you.
Good for
good
you.
Good for you.
Look at
That's
you.
Like a kindergarten teacher. Look at you. I love it.
I like someone's thinking of me while they're blowing somebody else.
Yeah.
Fun.
I like that Shelby got off to that fact. That the first thing Shelby thought about was, man, I was the first thought during a blowjob. Good. We did it. Let's do one more email. I like this one. This is a lady email. Let's hit the music. Called My Best Friend Dating an Ex-Friend.
Okay.
Now, my best guy friend from kindergarten is dating a girl I cannot stand. He has always been so quiet and shy that he's never had a girlfriend before. This year, he started dating a girl I used to be friends with. When she heard that he used to have a crush on me in middle school, she flipped and became sensitive towards us hanging out together, so I kept my distance and our friendship has suffered. She is only 20 and my friends and I are all 22, 23. She's pretty immature and social situations vary against judgmental about drinking and smoking. On top of being able to... not being able to legally drink, so it put up a huge barrier when we try to include her. My friends and I have all agreed that this girl is bad news, but I know it's important to my friend that she and I are friends, not just civil. I have tried to smooth things over with the girlfriend multiple times over coffee and reaching out over text saying, can we all be friends and get along when we are hanging out, etc. She says she feels like she can't trust me, that me keeping my distance has made everyone uncomfortable. And that she won't put herself in an anxious situation if she can avoid it. What do I do? This girl is a psycho, and I have no interest in being friends with her, but I don't want to sacrifice my friendship with my close childhood friend that is so important to me by saying something. Help.
It's not your choice. Again, and like I say,
I love that. Let's review the situation.
Mm.
She had a best friend dude.
Right.
Who's since kindergarten
is dating her enemy, her previous friend.
Her previous friend, and now the previous, she's made attempts.
Yeah.
The previous friend is like, I'm not going to put myself in an uncomfortable situation. She obviously doesn't trust her because she knows that the guy she's with at some point in middle school, as ridiculous as that sounds, had a crush on her at some point. So now here's where we stand.
Okay. She's 20 years old. She doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about. She's already judgmental about people drinking. She doesn't know. I think anytime you have a debate with somebody, you need to first realize what her credibility is first.
Yeah.
And when she says, I don't want to, her staying away has made everybody uncomfortable. The only person that's uncomfortable is her.
Yeah, the 20-year-old girlfriend.
Because the boyfriend wants them to be friends, so he's not uncomfortable. The girl who reached out, she's not uncomfortable because she reached out.
Yeah,
the only person
is this
20-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And what she's asking to do, which the relationship is not going to last anyway.
It's not going to
because she's a bitch.
Yeah.
And
also, she has her own personal self-worth issues that she has. She has her own confidence issues
right.
that she needs to get over before she can give herself to anybody.
And she's putting it on everybody else,
yeah.
and everybody else has the problem. You've made an attempt. The attempt was made. It's you've done the best that you can.
Yeah.
And if your friend is not a good enough friend to recognize that, then he needs to go and deal with this crazy bitch
yeah.
until she fucks up his life and her relationship. And then he'll come back and say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize how awful she was. I was caught up in a situation. You know, like relationships, it's like not understanding what your non-negotiables. So the question is, the girl's asking the question, she has to say, am I willing to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't want to be in a relationship with me so that I have to contort my actions and my thoughts in terms of what is going to offend her
yeah.
every time I'm around her so that I can maintain a friendship that I should have, that I don't even have a problem with. We're
yeah.
friends.
There's
too much.
There's too much here. I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think the guy is either your friend or still likes you.
Right.
So there's two choices there.
That's probably it too.
So the fact that when there's smoke, there's fire usually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the fact that this girl's, you know, whether she's
she might
not have any confidence, but
yeah.
she also knows when her dude.
She knows what her dude like. That this
might have been.
He would fuck this chick.
He gave up.
Yeah.
And I know that's from middle school, and it sounds like it's forever ago, but
yeah.
like she's sitting there going, "Why the fuck didn't that work out?"
Uh-huh.
They love each other. They're good friends.
Mm.
They're both good looking. Why didn't it work out? And then when you write in the beginning of the email, my best friend in kindergarten, he's always been quiet and shy.
Mm.
I don't know. That sounds like the hot girl who never saw her friend as an option.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then he gave it a shot once in middle school, and then he got embarrassed and he said, never fucking again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put myself
yeah.
out there. I'll find it. And then he... 22 years old, who finds a new girlfriend. The new girlfriend comes, and she's
more insecure than he was.
Totally,
so
and he cut, and she's unbiased.
Right,
she walks into the situation. She goes, "You two should be fucking."
Yeah,
I just came back from San Antonio. I wrote this whole post about the nature of the cities of Texas and kind of what I saw. Like I was like, okay, Dallas is the older brother.
Right.
Austin's kind of this plucky, shitty younger brother that thinks it's great. San Antonio's like the really nice brother who, like, you know, is good with everybody.
Right.
And then Houston's like the one that doesn't come home a lot and does
right,
its
right.
own thing.
Yeah.
And people, I had people
Austin
that were like,
actually is the one that actually does woodcraft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And is going to tell you how good they are at woodcraft. And it's like, and I had a lot of people write back like, wow, this is, you nailed it. And the reason I nailed it is because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I came in going,
what is this? Objective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Objective.
So a lot of the times, the new person coming into your group
got a new eyes
on it. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I do agree this relationship won't work.
Yeah.
She's has no confidence,
yeah.
and she's being a baby about
yeah.
being brought into the group. But I'm giving her a little bit of credit to say she showed up to this group and goes,
Something's up. Yeah.
He wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
So that's why she's so self-conscious about
it. But it's also, who don't we want to fuck?
Like, true.
Like, on the front end, we look at an attractive girl, oh, yeah, I'd fuck her.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that
yeah.
doesn't mean we follow through on that.
But I think the years of friendship.
Yeah,
of
she's worried about
that
too.
Single, whatever.
Sure.
So here's what I would say to the girl that's writing in, who I appreciate the email. I hear what she's saying. She may... be like, oh, it's ridiculous. He doesn't like me. Mm. All right, fine. Yeah, I've heard of more ridiculous things.
Call him up and say, hey, I'm just, you know, I've never tried anal. And I just, since we're such good friends, yeah. I figured I wanted to try it with you because I could trust you.
Sure.
And see if he goes, no, we're friends.
Yeah, the first words out of his mouth won't be no. They'll be like, what? If it's what, he wants to do it. So I will say to this person.
It'll be what?
Yeah, a long what. Because he's going to wait for you to stop him. What? Stop me if I need it. So I will say to this person writing in, if he is actually a friend and doesn't, and we are, there's two options. He's your friend or he's been after you for his whole life.
Yeah.
If he's after you his whole life, your action is you need to step away from this
right.
couple. They're going to break up at some point. You need to step away. You've tried. You made your effort.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Which
hey,
is more than she had to do.
She didn't have to do that. So then you say, hey, man, I don't want to make your girlfriend feel uncomfortable. Good luck. If he's your friend, he'll be back.
And if he's your friend, he'll make time for you anyway.
Yes, that's his responsibility.
Yeah.
If he's a guy who liked you, you will be gone.
Yeah.
You won't hear from him again.
Yeah.
He will be just the guy you hung out with in kindergarten.
Until they break up, and then he'll call you.
And then they'll call you after they break up. But if you are friends, he will make reasonable attempt to be your friend.
Because he wants to be. You're important to his life.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Dante Nero, you're the best, man.
You are. No, you're the best.
No.
Who's got two thumbs and is the best? This guy.
It's a best off. The Beige Philip at The Beige Philip. The podcast comes out every Tuesday. It's great. Get subscribed. Get into it at The Beige Philip on Instagram. Let's do a voicemail. Let's hit it. 347-669-8252. Put it in your phone as Papa JT or the Climax Czar or the King of Brunch or the Wizard of Oz, and you just call me anytime.
Sup, J Train. Quick question. My former college roommate, unfortunately, is recently divorced at 25 years old. They were together for a year.
Oof.
And then now have been separated and divorced for a year.
25.
Wasn't his fault. Yeah. She actually turned out to be a lesbian and left him for a coworker. So I guess the question is, him and I were talking, when is an appropriate time for him to bring up being a divorcee on a date? You know, is that something you lay out on the first date, or is it something you kind of hold, see where things go, maybe third or fourth day you bring it up? Thanks, man.
I hope I didn't bury the very juicy detail.
No,
his left him.
She's a lesbian.
She turned
out to be a lesbian and left him.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm sorry that happened to your friend. What do you think? When's the appropriate
time? Well, first
time
of all, 25 years old, get married, and then you're divorced in the first. He should get a round of applause. Let's give him a round of applause for getting out of that horse shit.
Yeah.
It's not spending the next 10 years miserable.
The crowd here, guys.
Miserable in a situation that wasn't going to work anyway.
He's got a lot of life left.
And how awesome is that? Like, you know what's funny? It's just. Me and J Train have been friends for a long time.
Sure.
And so I kind of am a current, like I am a force.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And so it's, and what I mean by that is I don't let people dictate what I do, how I dress, how it's, but I'm very thoughtful about the way that is, the way that I act, because I want to be thoughtful of people. I think there's three things that are always important is empathy, authenticity, and credibility.
Yeah.
And if you live with those three things, you're always going to fall on the right side of things.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's gone through. How awesome is story is that to start out on the first date?
You know what's so interesting, and you're nailing it right now, he presents a problem, we hear a solution.
Absolutely.
And that's really the answer to his question.
Yeah.
If you own your shit, own your life, own what's happened, if you're cool with it, everyone else is cool with it.
Yeah.
And the minute you start defending and saying, well, you know, I'm good in bed. I don't know why she became a lesbian. Her becoming a lesbian has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just were a part of her life story. That's it.
Awesome it is that you're out on this date when you go, hey, you like girls? And she goes, what? And she goes, well, I was married for a year.
Yeah.
My wife ended up being a lesbian and left me. So I tend to pick lesbians. I'm just wondering just if you like sure. girls. Just making sure.
Just want to be sure. I don't get down Schitt's Creek.
We're going to get some pizza. Why don't you order some sausage yeah. on it? You
don't want to see any clams.
And you should, if you own it, like you said, yeah. owning it and being playful about it, like, look, like.
That's your life. There's nothing to hide.
And it's not changing. That part of your life is not going
to
change.
And the more you try to skirt it or get around it, it's a reflection on your confidence level.
Exactly.
And that's not to say, hey, listen, it takes a minute to get over these things. It doesn't, I can't tell you how to feel.
Yeah.
You kind of wait to get at, you shouldn't be dating until you're ready on date one.
To talk about it or to date, you're saying?
You got to be ready to talk about it to date. I think to seriously date anyone, you got to go
out. Yeah, but I don't think you did. I always say, anytime somebody goes through a breakup, getting over it is five pussies away.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you're not going to be able to like have like a real relationship
right,
with someone
until you think,
yeah, my wife, I'm divorced.
Yeah, and this is
deal.
What. Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a, but I think getting you to that point is, the first thing I say is like, and I say this for women and men, if you break up, first thing, go fuck somebody.
Yeah.
Because it not only is it teaches your body, okay, this is going to be different.
It's going to be awkward.
I'm comfortable and what I have been comfortable with is not the same.
Mm.
And so a lot of times we hold on to that comfort so that, and then we don't move on because we just want to hold on to the comfort.
Sure.
And so even if the first time is awkward, it's get it out of the way.
Get it out of your system.
Because every first time is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
And why let it be awkward on somebody who you really like,
This is true. You know, but get out there, yes.
Get back out there.
But but get ready. If you're still have animosity towards it, you don't get out there.
Right.
You're not going to meet the real person for you until you've come to terms
with it. Right. But you're going to do that anyway. And that's not, and that takes that's the process of your own thinking anyway.
Yeah.
But you still got to do the work.
But being a person that isn't in this guy's situation, if I was on a first date, and the girl was like, and we started talking, I'd be like, yeah, I was actually married before. That would be in first date territory for me because I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, I was married before. It's actually a fucking crazy story. I walked in on her going down on some chick. I wish I was so lucky.
You know? right.
So like, it's like, you know, the more, you know, you could be too comfortable with it too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but also I think it's, I don't think there's like we can't tell you the time. We can tell you that there's a lot of positivity in this story that you need to start looking at.
Yeah, being human, you know, I always say being human is two things that you're going to have to do is give forgiveness and ask for forgiveness.
Mm.
That's part of being human. And so, and we will make mistakes. We will always, as long as we're human, we will make mistakes. And so making a choice, not choosing the right person is very possible.
Happens.
The problem is, the only problem I see is that, you know, when this is your third lesbian that you've married and left you for some, then it's a problem.
Then you have a thing going.
There's a thing.
This is a part of your taste,
right?
And, you know.
But it's, you can't expect to do everything perfect. Nobody does. I mean, you gotta. I know the crowd listens to you on the podcast, but you got to see Jared on stage. Amazing,
dude. Too kind.
What's funny is I've seen, like, I've been around before Jared, and I've watched him grow, and I watch him push and be uncomfortable. And sometimes when you're doing bits that are more complicated, you fail. You eat your balls.
Eat your dick. I've done it a million times.
And the only way you get to the point, to the expertise of where you're at now, is by failing and taking stock. And
that's the same with this dude.
And moving the needle.
You got to go. You got to get out there.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Yeah.
Dante Nero, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Love
Such
you, brother.
Such a pleasure.
Love you to death, man.
This is the best. @TheBeigePhilip on Instagram, Twitter, DanteNero.com, The Beige Phillip Show, every Tuesday. Go follow, go support, get involved. Shelby, thank you for coming on.
You got to come back on, too.
I'm down.
All right,
man.
Cool.
Thanks for having me.
@ClassicShelb on Instagram. Go follow, go support. I'm Jared Freed. We're every Tuesday and Friday. Keep telling people about this show. I love doing it. I love that you enjoy it. I want other people to have the gift of Papa JT. We'll see you next episode. Boom.